Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Mental Health Check-In with your boy Leek. Today, I have a special guest, my bro Ivan. How are you doing today, my brother?
I'm good, I'm good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to say thank you for saying yes to talk about mental health. I know a lot of people don't like talking about this subject, but you know, thank you for coming on the podcast to talk all things mental health.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I've worked in the mental health field, so this was kind of like a no-brainer.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. So let's get this started. I'm going to ask you a question. I ask all my guests this question when they first come on. I'm going to ask you, how is your mental health?
Right now, I think it's like at a 9.5, honestly. So it's this is the best it's ever been in my life. So for once, I have no complaints. I have a few complaints, but I could manage.
Yeah. I like asking that question because I feel like you could be struggling mentally, right? And you know how us guys are, you know, somebody asks us how we doing, we're like, we okay. You know, but when you ask somebody, how's your mental health? It opens the door to a deeper conversation for somebody to say, you know what, I'm okay, but you know, mentally I'm struggling. Mentally, you know, I'm going through this stuff. I'm depressed or, you know, it's anything. So I like to ask that question, like on a podcast, but and outside the podcast, I ask people how's their mental health just to, you know, just check in.
Right. Well, I mean, how's yours?
Mental health is up and down and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm trying to get it together, you know. When I come on this podcast, I always like cut it, like whatever's going on, I just shut it off and just, you know, do my job on here just to talk mental health. But hopefully it gets better. I can say hopefully it
gets better. I mean, not to like, but how does that help you? If you shut off your mental health things and push it to the side, how does that help you? Because let's say you have these conversations and let's say I had gained something so good from it that I really learned from it and my mental changed, but the whole conversation, you pushed yours to the side. Like, how does that help you? And how does it help you?
Like, I guess, like, so what helps me when I push it to the side, right? When I had these episodes, sometimes, like, not gonna say sometimes, all the time, I'll listen back to the episode and listen to like some stuff a person may say or something I may say. I'm like, damn, that's good. I need to apply that to my life and everything. It's been conversations I had on here that I'm just like, or my friends that listen to it, they be like, well, you said this in a podcast and everything. So like, how can you be, you know, be this way? And I'm just like, yeah, that is true. Like, I got to start taking, you know, instead of giving advice, I got to start taking my own advice and just listening and just try to get myself together. So like, I push it to the side, but I always come back to like these conversations and listen and be like, damn, like I'm going through this. I said this in like last episode, a couple episodes ago, and I need to apply that to my life.
I'm glad to use it as a medium to reflect. So I'm glad because working in the mental health field, it just gives me a different insight. So I'm always, when people ask about my mental health, I always have to kind of throw it back. Like, how's yours? Before you ask about me, how are you?
A lot of people don't ask that question. Well, some people, every time somebody asks me that question on here, it always throws me off. Like, I'm like, hold on. Like, what is going on? But I get it, though.
Yeah, let's try to work on it.
Yeah, one thing I could do about myself, I can, if I mess up or I'm just going through something, I could tell myself, I could read myself, you know. That's one
thing. Yeah, when are you going to be on the end? Like, when are you going to start taking the questions?
One of these days.
Yeah.
My next question for you, right, is growing up, was it okay not to be okay for you?
Is it okay not to be okay?
Yeah.
It depends on who I was around. Oh, so gosh. From my maternal side, like my mom's side, it was fine. It was okay. Like, you can experience whatever you need to experience and you're not going to get chastised or ridiculed for it. My stepdad's side, nah, it was very hyper-masculine, very much like, you cannot cry. You got to be a man. You have to stand your ground. You got to fight. This is like, you always just had to present the most aggressive, most machismo version of yourself, even as a kid. I'm like, for what? Like, I'm not okay. I want to cry. I want these eggs, and you're giving me oatmeal. Like, this is this is not okay. But
Yeah. Man, I like to ask that. That's like my favorite second, like follow-up question, because I'm like, everybody grew up differently, right? You know, we all come from different backgrounds, different walks of life. And it's always like interesting to see people answers to that question. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just like, just to let the viewers know that everybody grows up different. Some people you can relate with, some people you can't relate with.
yeah.
So thank you for answering. That's like my, told you, my second best favorite question to ask.
What? And does your what was your childhood the same? Like when you
Oh
grew
no, my childhood was not, it was not okay. It was not
Oh,
okay.
really?
No, not at all. Growing up, it sucked. Like I live with my grandma raised me. My mom and dad was on drugs, so my grandma took me straight from, like I said, straight from the hospital. You know, she had her own trauma that she, I guess, she was dealing with. You know, five kids, husband cheating on her. You know, infidelity, kids in between her kids. It was just like that. She was like, I'm gonna say bitter and stuff like that, and a lot of her anger she probably had towards men, you know, was taken out on me and stuff like that, living with her, like growing up. So it was not okay. Like, I feel like if I cried, my dad was in and out of jail. So it wasn't no male figure in my life to be around to, like, you know, help me or whatever like that. I just was around, you know, our friends were my grandma.
Yeah. So how were you, how did you deal with that as an adult? Like, how did you grow past that or through that or have you?
Well, I have not yet. So I'm just a loner on myself, right? So I just dated myself and everything. Like my family dynamic is different after, you know, my mom passed away, my sister passed away. It's just like different. Like nobody's close or whatever like that. You know, we all are, my siblings, we are all different people and stuff like that. You know, and we see each other. Well, two of them don't even live in Philly or like live close here now. But it's just, I think ever since our mom died, we just like not really close, you know, but I'll talk about that later in a different segment. Talk about that. Why? It's not their fault, but I can tell you why. Let's get to the subject of stigma, right? This is a stigma, you know, about mental health, right? And especially about men's mental health. You know, they say we can't cry, we can't be depressed, we can't be weak, we have to man up. What do you say to that stigma that's out there? I feel like it's got better, but it's still people that is suffering silence that feel like if they speak up about being sad or just having depressive thoughts, they feel like they're going to get clowned by their friends. Because the suicide rate in men, let's keep it real, is still high, you know, still high.
Working in the field that I do, I get literally hundreds of calls a week, and it's a lot of young people now, surprisingly, that they're starting to call in. And it's young people, and when I say young people, I mean people like in our age range. I'm not too sure what your age is, but I'm 34. So yeah, so like somewhere around that age is, and they're calling in and they have kids or they're living at home and they're all calling in, and the rate of their calls is becoming higher, but also the reason for their calls is becoming worse. So it's just kind of like people are starting to experience a lot more mental health like crises, and they're calling in for services. Now the problem is like there aren't enough services to go around. So it's like now people are getting frustrated because they can't get those services, which is now causing yet another crisis to pile on top of it. It's like, well, I need help, but I can't get help. So I'm starting to see that the stigma is actually starting to be erased, but now the problem is we just can't keep up now. It's like now all of a sudden there's this wave of mental health awareness. Now there isn't enough mental health resources. So then, which is now causing another crisis. So it's this horrible loop right now. And it's like, no one knows how to fix it right now. I mean, I have a couple solutions, but nobody wants to listen to those. So.
Yeah, I get it, man. Like I work, it's like so crazy that, you know, now in today's world, that mental health is like a major topic. You know, I started out, like I didn't know there was that many free resources out there until I started facilitate. I used to facilitate with NAMI Bucks County. NAMI is a mental health organization. They are across, you know, the whole United States, got different support groups. You know, everybody loves free. I love free. I bet you love free. But they had mental health support groups, you know, different types of support groups. I used to do a men's support group, peer support group, anxiety and depression, Black Minds Matter group. a late night, like a late night hour group and stuff. There are people to talk, and this is free support groups, and not intended to replace therapy in no type of way. But I feel like support groups are dope. You be in a group with people that understand mental health, you know, issues. They understand what you're going through. Like, I could be saying something to somebody, I'm going through this, and they don't understand it. But as soon as I go to that group and be in that group set, and they be like, "Leek, I hear you. You're seen, and I feel what you're going through." You know, people that understand it. So, like, there are, you know, it's resources out there, but a lot of people don't know. Like me, I didn't know it was free resources out there. I thought everything you had to pay for, and most stuff you do. But, like, you know, that's dope to have that out there.
Yeah, so the problem with the resources now is that you're right, a lot of people don't know about it. So when people, like, let's say, like in Philadelphia, for instance, if you get like state insurance, sorry about that, if you get like state insurance, you automatically get mental health, behavioral health, drug and alcohol, like coverage. There's like a separate insurance that comes attached to that insurance, but people don't know that. And they don't know that if you call that insurance, you can just get a list of providers that just give you that are in your area, and you can just go get seen anywhere. I mean, to get an appointment is kind of far, but it's that simple. But people don't know that. So it's just kind of like, yeah, people are aware about mental health. But again, the resources, one, are limited, and two, they're not talked about often enough. And they're not talked about on loud spaces either. So it's like, you know, the Breakfast Club, for instance, they'll say, like, oh, look at us. You know, mental health this, mental health that, but I never see them giving actual resources to people. It's always like, well, go worry about your mental health, but here is Dr. So and so, or here's this place on 12th Street in Harlem. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's always a lot of talk behind it, but there's not much action. So
Yeah, that is true.
that's why I appreciate your like you doing a podcast, and like you give space to people to speak about these things.
And that's crazy. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday. I was like, who could come on your podcast? I was like, anybody can come on. Anybody that wants to talk mental health, like, I'm open to it. You know, whatever my experience is, or the person that come on experience with mental health, you know, that people were like, with, you know, anxiety, depression, eating disorders, just like a lot of stuff. Like, I had, you know, like somebody, one of my good friends, Nate, he used to play football, NFL thing, and he like talks about like the mental health, you know, behind the scenes in that locker room, the conversations that he didn't say the conversations they had. But like, so my friend, my buddy Jacob Packer from Netflix, The Mole reality show, he is a EMT slash firefighter. I didn't realize their mental health. I'm like, damn, like,
Oh, yeah.
you know, just like, I never really realized it or just acknowledged it. But when he was talking about it, I was like, oh yeah, y'all definitely are on the scene and out there, you know.
Really risking your lives forever.
Or like, I had a recent guest from the show on YouTube. It was Bad Boys Club Texas on YouTube. This guy Diego, and he is an army vet, you know. And I just like that, nobody talk about their mental health and everything. It's just like, it's just crazy. They probably are talking about it, but you know, when
But
we
it's
talk.
not talked about. So the con those conversations aren't even talked. So the conversations are had, but people aren't talking about the conversations, and that's the problem. Like,
Problem. Since we was talking about mental health, before I go into my next segment, I'm gonna ask you a question. I'm gonna answer it first. Anybody out there that's struggling with thoughts of suicide or suicide ideation, there is a suicide prevention number out there. The crisis number is 988, an easy number to dial. If you or you know someone that's struggling, please dial that number. Like I said, I used to volunteer for NAMI Bucks County. I was a group facilitator. They have free online resources. Different NAMIs, no matter where you at, or if you're in like LA, and you want to attend a virtual one in Philly or New York, you can do that. They also have different types of groups. Now, every chapter has different type of groups. They are free. Like I said, it's not intended to replace therapy, but please look on Google. It's free resources. I'm gonna ask you a question, but I'm gonna answer it first. The question is, have you ever thought any thoughts of suicide or any thoughts of not wanting to be here? And I answer it first. I try to make my guests feel comfortable. You know, as a child, I was sexually abused by two of my male cousins. So, you know, I tucked that away. I was just talking to somebody about this. I tucked that away and didn't think about it until I got to 26. I'm what, 33 now. So I got to 26, and it just like, I feel like the trauma just came back up on me. So, you know, I was like hating men. I didn't realize until I started going back to church around 26, the age 26, that I had issues with being around men or just feeling comfortable around men or just trusting men. That's when all of the trauma just came back on me. And I used to always wonder, like, why I was depressed, why I was suicidal. and like a lot of stuff, I just never knew what it was until, you know, I had to face my, you know, past and everything, my past trauma. 2019, you know, lost my mom, liver cancer. Then 9 months later, lost my sister. And I, by the time I was, my mom died, well, by the time my sister died, I was just about to start grieving my mom fully. And then it was like, how can you grieve somebody, you know, how can you finally grieve somebody that somebody else close to you died? So, you know, that grief, that trauma, like all been pushing down on me since, you know, my mom died in 2019. And I just like, it just like from there, it just been depressive days, you know, sad days, you know, it's been times in groups that I cried and stuff like support groups that I cried and stuff like that, had people be there for me. Yeah, so like I still like, even though I do this podcast and everything, I still struggle. I still go through my stuff, you know, and I'm not, you know, I was tell somebody, I'm not better than nobody, or you know, I'm not no mental health, you know, professional, but I love talking about mental health. Even though I struggle with mines, I love having that conversation. So this may sound cliche, but like anybody that's struggling, please call that number. Another reason I'm saying it sounds cliche because I most likely don't call that number. I just sit in my sorrow, which I need to stop doing.
Call that number or call somebody. Either
Yeah.
or works.
Yes. So, oh, floor is yours now.
Oh, wow. Okay. How do I follow up? What was the question? Can you repeat the question?
If you ever dealt with any thoughts of suicide or just thoughts of not being here?
Actually, I did. And this was before the age of 10. I did deal with
Oh.
thoughts of suicide. And it was because, man, so what my mom was with my dad. You know, she got knocked up by my dad. You know, I was born, but she ended up not being with my dad. She got with my siblings' mother, our father.
Yeah.
Now, he's a good person now, but back then he was your typical dude from the 90s. Like, oh, I'm gonna have my wife at home, I'm gonna have my kids at home, and she's gonna take care of my kids while I'm out having other babies with other women.
Oh,
And then
wow.
yeah, but then would come home, and because he was a little ashamed, would go ahead and kind of like abuse us, like literally just beat on us, like not sexually, just
Yeah.
yeah, straight like beat on us. And it was crazy because it was just kind of like at one point I thought it was me. At 6 years old, I'm like, is it me? Like, why is he coming home to beat me and my mom? Like, what did I do? Like, I thought like, oh, if I got in trouble in school, he was gonna beat me and my mom up. So I would try to be in school. So it made me not have a voice. So I would always just stay quiet in school. I would stay quiet and party. I would just stay quiet because I'm like, if I say anything, it's gonna get me and my mom jacked up.
Yeah.
So, and I remember once I'm like, you know what? It'll be better if I wasn't here because then my mom won't get beat up. So I remember being, had to be like 7 or 6 or 7, somewhere around there. And I had this knife and I literally was just trying to do this on my wrist as a child. And me thinking back on it now, I'm like, that's crazy that as a child, I was at such a dark place that I thought that. And I'm just kind of like, it's wild to me that someone so young could even have a thought like that.
Wow, that is like, thank you for sharing that. It just like breaks my heart when I hear stuff like that. You know, at a young age, you know, like even to this day, you got kids this age, you know, wanting to die, you know, by suicide. I remember this story. I'll never forget this little boy's story. You know, his name was Drake. Little,
Greg.
yes, no, that's it's a kid. It's some kid. He died by suicide. That's the correct term, guys. He died by suicide. He was being bullied in school, teachers and nobody did nothing. And the dad and mom found him. He hung himself. And I was in group one day. I was crying. I was like, why do you know people, children that age, like where did they get that from? Where it's just like, I think I never had that as a child and everything. Well, not as that young, but probably like 15 and older or whatever. But I said, it just said that that's the first thing they did. And, you know, the boy, little child died by suicide. And it just said that children know about that, you know?
Exactly. And that's what's crazy about it. It's like as a child, you just think that that's crazy to me. It's crazy that I thought that at one point. You know, it's like I feel so far removed from it that it's just kind of like I can't believe I ever thought that.
Yeah, so if anybody out there is struggling, please dial 988 or get in any type of free online support groups. Like I said, NAMI has support groups, or if you go to church, they have church groups that you can go to. But therapy is a must. Make sure you get into therapy. And remember, not every therapist is for you. Just keep trying. I call it like dating your therapist until like, you hit that red button. That's the right therapist. So keep trying out there. Anybody sharp? Yes. Next question is, what is your mental health story? Your own personal story. I know you in the mental health field, but what is your own mental health personal story?
In terms, how so? Like, I guess
What have you dealt? I'm sorry. What have you dealt with, like, from childhood to now, like, your journey?
oh, I mean, I guess you just heard part of it.
Yeah.
And that kept me quiet. Like, going through those, I guess, physical beatdowns kept me quiet
Yeah.
throughout all of like my elementary school years. But then the problem was it kept my mouth shut, but it kept my hands active. So I was always fighting. So it was just kind of like, oh, I can't fight at home.
Yeah.
But I could fight in school and I could take these people in school, but I can't fight my dad. He'll knock me out, but I
Yeah.
could beat these people up. So every time I was getting knocked out at home, I was going to school to knock somebody else out.
Yeah.
So that was the loop that I was going through. But I was at, my grades were always good. So it's like, oh, he's always fighting, but his grades are good. So it's kind of like, I guess that kind of balances out. So I was always the problematic one, but he's passive. But that
Yeah.
still didn't avoid me getting ass whoopings. So it was just this horrible feedback loop. But then high school rolled around and I used to get picked on a lot. Bullying was psychotic in high school. And it was because I was bigger. And I thought in high school that I was going to be picked on for being gay. And that's what I thought. And I expected it and I was ready for that. What I wasn't ready for was people picking on me because of my appearance.
Yeah.
That was a different battle that I never thought would take me out. It because of being picked on because of that, I developed an eating disorder early on in life. And that messed me up too. So it was just kind of like, if it wasn't for the bullying, I feel like I would have been like just good. I think I would have had a great baseline, but that high school bullying messed me up for a long time after that.
Wow, that's a lot of people don't talk about that either, bullying and stuff like that. I've never been bullied in school, but I've been bullied by family members, I've been bullied by family members.
That's
And
different.
like it's crazy. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. I was like, how people wear, they call them the hoochie daddy shorts and stuff like that. I said back in that day growing up in Philly, I used to wear, my grandma had shorts like that. Only I got picked on, being too pants too tight, or I'm gay and stuff like that. Mind you, I didn't even know what gay was at the moment and everything, but like I got picked on. But now it's a thing where people can wear them shorts. I said it's just crazy how the world works. I was like, man, it's just like was crazy. But I remember like in school, like somebody was getting bullied, and I wanted to fight. I was so mad. I was like, it was some boy, like he like had a disability, and I don't know why the person was picking on him. So I was like, oh no, he ain't gonna fight you. I'll fight you. And that boy did not want to fight because I'm like, how you gonna pick on somebody that
Can't
can't,
really defend themselves, yeah.
yeah. I didn't like that. But yeah, that's not talked about a lot. A lot of people don't talk about bullying or eating disorders. Thank you for bringing it up because a lot of people don't talk about that. I developed eating disorder. I think when my grandma died, yeah, I definitely did. Like everything.
Can I ask if you don't mind, like when you developed the eating disorder after because your grandmother like passing, what was it about that situation that made you like develop the eating disorder? You know what I mean? Like,
So I
what was
felt
the
good.
trigger like?
I felt guilty. I felt like it was my fault, right? So I talked about this in my book, but I don't really talk about it on the podcast. So my grandma, I was young, living with her, and my grandma just kept me in the house like all the time. I couldn't go spend at nobody's house, which was crazy. I couldn't spend at nobody's house, but the only house I can go to was her mom's house, which was in, I was born and raised South Philly. So she, let me see. Like she kicked me. I moved out of the house back with my mom. Didn't want to move my mom, but then she had found out that I used her credit card or whatever like that. Tell me how I did it and changed the
You was
bills.
moving mad.
Listen, I was like stuck in the house and it was nothing. Like I couldn't go nowhere. She didn't buy me clothes. It was just like a horrible situation and stuff like that. There's no excuse of what I did and everything. So she found out about that once I like when I moved. So we wasn't on talking terms. Like she wasn't talking to me, and I was a child. I was like a teenager or something. She wasn't talking to me, and I had got a call one day. It was crazy. Day before my, it was a couple of days before my sister wedding, and my grandma died. And my cousin that I live with in Delaware now, she was like, "Oh, grandma died." I thought she told my great grandma, because yeah, my great grandma, we had a relationship, but it wasn't like my grandma. So when she told it was my grandma, I was crying. And I just felt bad because like I wasn't there, you know. I was, you know, I couldn't go back down there. But when I went to our house, you know how people, when people die, it's just people just bring food. I was just everything they was bringing, and I was like in her house looking at stuff that probably was like expired and stuff. I was just like, damn, if I was here, like I could have took care of her and stuff like that. You know, that was my girl. She took me from the hospital and stuff like that. You know, even though she wrote me emails that she forgave me and stuff. That's when I ain't had no phone back in the days with the church phones. She emails that she forgave me and stuff like that as a Christian, but like, her mom was like hurt and stuff like that. Like I feel like I felt that like my dad failed her and stuff like that, or like her husband failed her, and I just that took me. I that guilt stayed on me for a long time. I think just like year or two ago, I realized that it wasn't my fault that she gone. But even though I still miss her and stuff like that and everything, but it just that guilt, man. I tell you, I was eating like it was nothing. I really didn't care. I didn't even go to prom my senior year. My mom was like,
Oh, wow.
I'm like, my grandma not here, so why should I go to, you know, why should I go to prom? I don't want, I didn't do no senior type of stuff. All I did was graduated and kept it moving. That's all I did, yeah. So that's where mines came from and everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was curious to like because my eating disorder developed the opposite way. It was like I was purging all the time.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, like I'm gonna eat a whole bunch of food. Now I'm gonna just go because I wanted the satisfaction of eating, but I didn't want to gain any weight because I didn't want to get picked on. Like,
Yeah.
so it's like it's crazy how two like those two separate things caused us to have eating disorders, but in opposite directions. So it's just kind of like.
Yeah,
I
that
always
is.
like hearing the reasons behind things because I like to compare and contrast it with like what I went through. So,
Our next question for you, right? You know, you mentioned, you know, about, you know, LGBTQ, right? Let's talk about that mental health, right? How can I say this?
let's talk about it.
How, like, people don't talk about LGBTQ, mental health, right? Because some of us come out, right? And some of us don't have good coming out stories. Some of us have bad coming out stories. What can you say about, you know, the mental health in that community? Because my friend, I lost one of my friends to suicide. I meant to say that in the beginning. I lost one of my friends. He Philly openly gay cop. I don't know if you know him or heard him. Mikey might know him. His name Dante Austin. It was my good
Oh
friend
yeah, actually,
of
a close friend of mine, that was her cousin.
He one of the people when I wanted to die, I killed myself, so talked me off the ledge. And like before he died, which was crazy, like it was like Gay Pride weekend, and I think weeks before that, I saw him at Buffalo Wild Wings up on the Northeast, and he was doing stuff for the community. Like I had like helped my friends buy him like some balloons, I almost said balloons, pillows and soap and stuff. I think it was like a homeless gay youth shelter or something like that. I think that's what it was. And you know, you see the story, you see somebody's story, and then like stories from the Gay Pride weekend, and then Monday got that news. Like I think that's the first friend I lost to suicide. I cried. I just was like, what the hell? I was like, oh, why? So like a lot of people don't talk about, you know, our mental health and everything. Because we get, don't forget, we get double stigmatized, you know, for being Black and Latino. Then they add the gay on there and stuff like that. It's just
Oh,
like
yeah.
got it worse.
You know, as much as mental health is starting to become less stigmatized when it comes to the LGBTQ community, it still needs some help. The gay community just needs some help. They need help and they need to help themselves from within. Because it's kind of like gay people, like, and this is me just existing out in the communities. Like, we don't know how to talk to each other. We don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to, we don't know how to like vent our frustrations. We don't know how to, it's just like a lot of things just don't know. Like, and it's in particular gay men, they don't know how to carry themselves. They don't know how to engage in conversation without getting, you know, riled up. They can't find the words to say simple things. And it's really unfortunate because it's kind of like if us as a community really knew how to communicate with one another, we can do a lot more together, a lot.
Yes, a lot more. And like they also feel like, you know, they struggle, like nobody understands it. Like I like people like I didn't have the best coming out story at all, right? I did not have the best coming out story. I was it's crazy. I live in Delaware now with my cousin, but one long time ago when I was 20, I came up here just to get out of Philly or whatever I did, because it just wanted to get away from my mom.
Not a long time ago. You
Hell
said
yeah.
four.
It was a long time ago. I was 20. I'm 33. It was a long time, over a
Dang,
decade.
that is a long time ago, man.
I know, right? And I had met somebody, some guy I was dating and everything. It was just like so good at first, but it was just like so much drama here to be mom. It was just like so much, right?
You had a
So
what?
baby mom. It was just,
Baby mom, you went from one of
it
them.
was my first
You
love. It was my first
were
love.
fake number one. Then you were out.
It was I told, listen. So my sister, my sister got busted dead. She was like, "Where you going?" I let her talk to him and everything, and then they meet. And my sister was like, "Where you go tell mommy?" I was like, "I don't care." I think my "I don't care" was "I care," but my mom, she told my mom right, like right away. She told her, I didn't even get to tell her. Then my mom and dad wasn't together, but he told my dad. Then I was like all type of F words and everything. Then I was F words from one of my brothers. What else? It was like everybody, it's spread like wildfire. Like everybody know. Like I was living in Delaware, and me and my cousin, we disagree on this. I live with, we try to talk about it because it's like sensitive subject, but I feel like her parents that I was living with, they, I got kicked out because of my lifestyle. But I had an email. They told me because I wasn't trying to find a job, but everything was online. But me and her agreed to disagree to that. But it was like a lot of stuff happened when I came out. It was like the worst coming out story. Like I was judged.
I'm not
I still
surprised.
to this day I've been judged. Like I love church and everything, but this time like I do like online church now. So like it's a church in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio that I love. I visited them, flew there, drove there. I love their churches. I feel accepted.
Amen.
But like it's churches in Philly that I attended that some I try to develop get away from that male like not liking males or just not like whatever. I try to
No.
their type of group settings, but when they hear me talk or just hear certain stories and find out who I really am, it's like, oh, we don't feel comfortable hanging around. I've been told that. So that plays on somebody's mental health. People don't talk about that at all.
Yeah,
Like,
that tends to happen a lot.
don't talk about it, So I was like, we are just people, people judge us and stuff, but we just the same people that you are, just people with feelings and emotions, and people don't get that.
And you know what the simple fix to that is, the minute a person who's quote unquote a homophobe, if you put them in a room with somebody who happens to be gay and you allow them to have a genuine conversation, they'll find a lot more in common than they would find that divides them. And that's the sad part about it. And that kind of just goes to my last point. Like, people just don't know how to communicate and people don't want to learn how to communicate anymore. It's just kind of like, there's so much just divisiveness just in general. And it's kind of like, why aren't people talking? It's just because people don't know how.
It's true. We don't communicate nowadays. I think people communicate with their hands more than like talking and stuff like that.
You know what's crazy? I wish people did it back in the day, like in the 90s, like how we used to just be like, you know what, I got a problem with you, do, and now we're cool.
Yeah.
You know how many friends you made back in the day because, yo, you just fought one good time. You know what? We got it out. What's up? We're cool now. Now
Indeed.
people don't even do that. There's a lot of people that hide behind a keyboard now.
Yes.
You know what's crazy? And that causes a lot of mental health issues too. Like, imagine just getting bullied online or trolled online constantly all the time. Like, you know how many people have, for example, committed suicide because of online bullying? So it's just like, people need to learn how to communicate. That's like literally the bottom line. Learn how to speak to people and learn how to take criticism. A lot of people also don't know how to take criticism. So.
Yeah, but like communication is like a two-way street too. Like you gotta make sure you communicate. It's like it's just like you said back in the day we could just fight, keep it moving, or whatever. Nowadays people want to get their lick back, and I ain't mad about getting their lick back. But
It depends on the
fight somebody,
situation.
you yeah it depends yeah it definitely depends. But you fight somebody, some people come back with a gun. It's just like crazy. It's crazy. Like I was telling somebody growing up in Philly, like it used to be so safe. Now you see stuff on the news like. Shit like kids getting shot, it's just like so sad. I'm like growing up, it was never like this. I don't know.
Oh, was it? Oh, well, I mean, I'm from the Bronx, so it was very much like that. It was very much bang bang.
It was
Well,
like
I'm about to
like
say,
the
I heard Philly was crazy back in
bro,
the
Philly was, like when so when I growing up, I was like as a child, I was able to play outside, right? Go to the park. I used to be out 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Our grandpa used to come find me and my cousins, right? I used to be out there all the time and nothing got shot, nothing like that. But nowadays, it's just like these people that's out here shooting, they don't give a fuck who they shooting at. They don't care who they aiming at. It's people getting like kids getting hit in the crossfire. But I'm tired of seeing the news like somebody that's like 8 and under getting shot or just like a teenager. That's just crazy. Like it's just this. generation world today. They just don't care at
I
all.
mean, that's what do you expect in a country where like millions of guns just scattered about across the US? Like, yeah, it's like, what do you expect to happen? You know what I mean? It's like there's guns everywhere. What do you expect to happen?
So I wasn't a fan of guns, right? But I went to the gun range. I was like scared as hell. And I said, sure. I was like, this ain't that bad. Whatever I did. I always wanted the gun permit. But I said an episode with Javar and Mikey. I was like, I can't get one because of my mental health. I said, no, like I don't know if they still sign for it, you know, like references. I said, nobody would sign for me. I said, I can't get one because I said I wouldn't even trust myself with one because
Yeah, I
as
had someone
long as I know
sign
I
for
can
me.
get it. Huh?
I had someone sign for me too, so yeah.
Yeah. They got to, right? They got to sign for your
Yeah,
EFL.
you have to. I mean, it was easy for me because the person that signed for me was in the military, so it just looks safe. But I'm like, they be the first ones to
Yeah.
the people in the military be the first ones.
Yeah, that is true. My next question for you is, what are some good coping skills you could recommend to someone that's struggling with their mental health, right? And before he answers, his coping skills, my coping skills may not work for everybody, but there are some that help people out there. So we're going to mention the ones that we like the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
The best coping skill that the first skill, I'll be very honest, the first coping skill I learned was smoking. So I don't advocate for marijuana, but I don't advocate for it.
I don't either.
But in a controlled setting, and in moderation, I feel like it can help alleviate a lot of stresses and it can help focus your thoughts. But it's not for everyone and it doesn't do the same thing that it does for me.
Yeah.
Back in my day I did suffer from addiction. So in order to break that addiction, I picked up that habit. And that habit allowed me to break that former addiction cold turkey. And then through that, the coping skill that I learned was patience, like breathing. And because I noticed I would get worked up and I would get angry. There was so much anger because of abuse I went through as a child, because of bullying, because of not where being where I wanted to be in life. I would just be so angry. But then I learned, I'm like, you know what? Me being angry at nobody and nothing gets me nowhere. So it's like
Yeah.
I need to breathe and I need to calm down. I'm like, and the only way that I can get my point across as if I can understand the feelings that are coming out of me right now. So I'm like, until I understand that, I can't talk to anybody else. So there's a lot of times if I'm angry, I just kind of re get reserved into myself and I take a minute and I'm like, let me breathe, let me think. And then once I do that, I'll kind of like come back to it. I'm like, all right, let me talk. Because my thing is, I never learned how to communicate with my emotions because I was never allowed to speak as a child. And then I was bullied, so I was always fighting. So my words were never used, it was always my body being used as a punching bag or my fist using somebody else as a punching bag. So it's like as an adult, it's just kind of like I just never knew how to speak. And that would just have my mind going crazy because it's like I'm feeling all these feelings and I'm experiencing all this, but I can't say it. So it's like I need to learn how to talk. And then once I finally learned how to really verbalize my emotions, a lot of things in my life started to fall into place because I was able to express to people, I'm like, hey, this is what I'm feeling. This is why I'm feeling it. Now we can go, we can have a conversation from here. So it's like, that's why I keep going back to it. Learning how to communicate is paramount because the minute you learn how to just say something and make somebody else understand and relate, that's when everything starts to fall into place. That's why I always stress, like, you need to learn how to communicate. I'm like, and not for anybody else, for yourself. Like,
Yeah, that is true. For yourself, relationship, whatever friendship, like
especially in a relationship.
communication is like boom. But I don't like, I was like he said, like marijuana. Like I, you know, sometimes dabble in it, whatever like that. Like yesterday I took an edible because I was just like had a bad day. I took one after I got home, but I feel like
Oh, that's why you was knocked out.
yeah. And I think because like I got home like ASAP and I took it and I ate. I feel like I went to sleep and I just probably felt it in my sleep because I really did not feel it. But what else? Another thing I do that I do not recommend, you know, just for me, microdosing. I used to do it at one time. It was like really, really helping me. I need to get back on there. This is a website I found, and they put them in gummies in every form and everything. And I need to get back on it. Like,
Eddies are a
microdosing.
dangerous thing though, because they are very potent.
Microdosing.
Yeah, like there's sometimes it's like if you have just a low tolerance, it just really.
Yeah, one time I had took it like a while ago and I went to work and I was like, I took it here, but it didn't must have hit me till I got to work. I was like, why do I feel like hunger just like empty? And I was like, oh shit. I was like, oh, and I
Yeah.
forgot that I had took it. I was like, oh,
That's
that's
what
what
happened.
I. The times that I actually took some on the beach and one day, and that was the best feeling ever. I went, me and
Was
my,
it?
yeah, huh?
That was the best. Really? I thought it would be bad on the beach. Hot.
No, it just that, like, okay, it wasn't that hot out there. It was hot, but it wasn't
Okay.
that hot. So I had my glasses on and I just was like, closed my eyes, and like the wind and the waves was just like
Oh,
really.
you was riding the wave.
It
You
was
was.
like really,
Yeah,
I was
you
like, have a good experience. I was like, you know what? If I decide to go to the beach, I'm definitely going to do that. And I don't like, I don't get in the water. So it's just, I just sit there just to relax. And sometimes I might get in there, but I just like to relax. But when I did that, I was just like, that set up a good beach day. I was just like, I don't even care for the beach. And I was like, this is good. But coping skills I would recommend, right? Journaling, you know, working out. A lot of people don't realize that working out really helps with your mental health.
it does.
Not even just writing journal. You could voice, you know, we got phones nowadays. You could voice journal if you want to. Taking a walk, getting active. Like I just had a podcast yesterday. We talk about that, getting active, taking a walk, talking to someone, therapy. You know, if it's a therapist or a preacher or a close friend, make sure it's somebody that you trust. And just remember, not everybody understands mental health problems. And that's okay. That is okay. Not everybody's going to understand what you're going through or be
You're right.
sympathetic or what you're going through.
But if you learn how to communicate, you can help somebody understand. You see what I mean? It all go back to communication, I promise.
Yes. And my last question for you is, somebody that is listening, right? They're struggling with their mental health. What can you say to that someone that's struggling? Why is it important that they put their mental health first? You know, most of us that struggle with mental health issues, we don't put ourselves first. Never, ever, ever. We always put others before us. So can you tell the person that's listening why it's important that they put their mental health first?
I mean, aside from the obvious, you never want to go through our life thinking, what if I tried to fix this? Or what if I did something different? How many times have you gone through an argument with somebody and you knew you were in the wrong and you were like, maybe I should have did this differently, or maybe I should have said things differently, or like this just something happened and you could have done something differently. Your mental health plays a part in all of those life decisions. So it's just kind of like, again, like I said earlier, if you're not going to do it for anybody else, just do it for yourself. Because I'm like, once you're good and centered within you, it kind of ripples out. It's almost like an energy and like a positive loop feedback. The minute you fix your head, you start to notice everything else starts to fall into place. And like, if right now, if you're struggling to like pay bills, and like if you think, oh, I can't get my next meal, or you know, no one's listening to me. If you even having thoughts of suicide, like trust me, all you need to do is just talk to somebody who you know is just non-judgmental, or even try like the crisis hotline. The heck, you know what? I'll even, this is my job's number. I'll just plug it in there. The number is 866-545-2600. If you're living in the Philadelphia area, call that number. We can get you linked with any sort of mental health services, drug and alcohol addiction, you name it, we can help. Like, a lot of people don't know about it. If you want to use that resource, please access that.
Thank you for that. And
Yes, you're welcome.
I'll add, put your mental health first. Because nobody's gonna put it first like you, like you're gonna put yourself first. You know, we have to take care of our mind, body, and souls before we take care of everybody else. You know, you can't be have how can I say, you can't be not okay and then try to be there for others and stuff like that. You know, you gotta make sure your mind, body, and soul is good. Make sure you put you first. You always come first. And to like, you know, I always say like the people I know that's in family, like have a family. You know, make sure you put yourself first so you can be there for your family. You know, I had a conversation with one of my friends, and it was like, I think their husband dad died, and he just went off somewhere just to get his mind right. And I'm like, listen, like, you know, he has to be okay for y'all. And she like, she's when I talked to her, she like got it. I was like, he has to be okay for y'all. So somebody that lost their dad was close to their dad and said they wish they could go be with their dad. You know, that's a lot. You know, and she understood it. So make sure you put yourself first.
Yep, and drink lots of water.
And
Stay
mind your business.
hydrated.
Yes, sir.
Or
Mind
your mind needs to stay hydrated. Drink lots of water.
Yes. And I was gonna say thank you, man, for coming on. I wanna say congratulations on your engagements.
Oh, hi, thank you.
Yes. Can you talk wanna talk about that? Like what was your reaction? That was so dope. Like y'all got so much love on Facebook. It was so it was dope.
I'll be very honest. I was walking up, we were in this rose garden, right?
Yeah.
There were a lot of steps, and the steps were covered in like arches covered with more flowers. So I'm walking up the steps and I'm taking mad pictures. But see, he's at the bottom of the steps the whole time. And I'm like, bro, get up here. It's hot. It was humid. I wanted to take the pictures and go. Like, I was sweaty. I was wearing this long sleeve flannel that was like knit. And I was like, bro, what am I doing here? So he called me back down. And when I get back down, he's already on his knees with the ring out. And I'm like, I promise you, that was my face. I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, he said something. I don't remember what he said. And he asked me to marry. And I said, oh, I mean, my immediate response was, are you sure? Like,
Yeah.
I was like, you really picking me? Like, I'm getting chose right now in like the middle of Italy. Like, I was geeked. But then I got nauseous and I started like dry heaving and almost threw up. So one thing about me, if I get overexcited, I get nauseous. So and I want to throw up. So I was like, I gotta throw up, but that's how I went.
That was so dope. Like y'all had got so much love, and I, you know, and y'all
I
put
was
y'all.
surprised that we got that much love. I was like, oh, y'all really like us. Thank you.
Listen, a lot of people support real love, you know. You could just see there's real love, you know. You got your congratulations on your own house.
I know. Thank you. Yeah,
Go,
I'm still
go.
working on it, but
Yes, listen, y'all got your
yeah.
But I want to say thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you for being a guest, my brother. You know, thank you for being so open. You know, thank you for challenging me too.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm always gonna challenge somebody. I'm like, you're not about to sit here and just gun me down with questions. What's up? Like, hey, what we doing?
That's what mental health check-in is all about.
Exactly. See?
But thank you, man.
No, thank you. This was actually fun. This was great. And listen, if you want to do this at any other time, I'm open.
I definitely got you in mind. Hold on.